waiting for testing.
Yeah.
I just set it back. Wait, we set it down here. This is Alfred Walker interviewing Harris Tufts on at Mount Tabor on US 50, and we're going to talk a little bit about getting maple sap and making maple syrup out of it. Harris has lived in the same house here for 78 years, that's how old he is, and your father lived here. Anybody else in the family?
Grandfather.
Your grandfather lived
Charles
here.
Charles Tufts, grandfather. Grandmother's Maggie Tufts, Maggie Lee Tufts. Yeah.
So he's trying to outlive his house here. Both of them getting pretty old. Okay. I'll talk a little louder here. So
all right.
It'll pick that up.
When
did you start? When the leaves started coming out?
You have to kind of depend on the temperature.
Yeah.
Like that is in spring. And sometimes it can start earlier, and the last of January up into all through February, depending on the freezing and thawing. As your sap goes up, and when it comes down, and you catch what you can in the bucket, and then you're going to have settling pans to settle it in, and then your furnace is fired with, or ours was fired with wood, and that helped a great deal. Of course, it was quite a job. You had to get wood and stock it up for the furnace. The furnace is about 8-10 feet long with a pan on top of it. It was about that long and about 2.5-3 feet wide and about a foot deep, and you had to keep the fire going and then roll your barrels up onto that and empty your barrels in your pans. You had one settling pan and then another and about the same size right alongside it. In other words, we had two furnaces where you would, after it cook a while in one, and then you dipped it over in the other and kind of done it off and draw it out and put it in a barrel to bring up the house. We always done off the syrup up on the stove. We had the stove that, and right in the kitchen, the old kitchen stove we used. And had a big pan in there on the stove about 3 feet square and about a foot high. And that way you could do off a good barrel of syrup. And when you brought it home, you put it on and used your same team that you used together your syrup in, and you brought it up and that way. And of course, you had to settle it again. And the way is because you had a lot of wood leaves and things from the woods and the trees, you had to keep it out as best you could. And then you brought it up and put it in your kitchen stove, your vat on your kitchen stove, and the folks always used 2 or 3 egg whites put in when you had maybe 4 or 5 gallon in there after it was done up. You see your syrup, your tree sap. After it was boiled down, you boiled down about a 50-gallon barrel. You know, will bring about a gallon of pure maple syrup, or as near pure as you could get it. And then all you had a temperature, you had to And we had a candy thermometer put in and to keep it up to a certain temperature. I forgot now what, but anyway, it got thick, you know, so it would run on your pancakes. You had to, and it had to look clear. You had to look almost like clear as honey, almost. The way I like it. And then we just done it all in metal gallon cans, and syrup, regular syrup cans, and you could put that on in the mail if you wanted to ship it across the country. You put a couple of gallons in and made the containers out of wood. You had to do that because the mail wouldn't take tin, just in tins at all. It had to be, it's just like shipping bees or chickens. So you had to have it pretty well fixed up so they...
Had to have it protected.
Yeah,
sure.
It had to be protected, but the rest of it you could all... back then, back in the 30s and 40s, and long then, why, we only got about $4 a gallon. And you could take a gallon of that stuff and make about 3 out of it, because the syrup was thick enough that you could, diluted enough that you could make, and that's the way they did back in those days, and diluted that way, but then you...
How many years did you make? Did you start in the
30s? Oh my goodness, I wouldn't know. Calvert, I wouldn't know. I suppose they made us pretty soon after the Civil War around here.
Oh, your dad made it for
that. Oh yeah, granddad, yeah. Oh yeah.
And they always got it out of this thicket back here, behind your place?
Yeah. Down over, well, let's see, Leagy, I think, bought the old woods up here behind his establishment there. He bought down in there almost down to the lower Creek Road, and so that took all that in there, and I think he's put cattle in there and the on back there. Is he let all a lot of people in there that worked for him, I guess, and
was those all maple trees or what?
Not all of them were maple.
Could you use other kind of trees?
No, just
had
maple.
To use the maple.
You had to use the maple, but we had hickory and elm, oak in there too. But you used just the, that's the only way. Hard maple. Yeah.
And what month did you usually start?
February
or March?
In February and March. I believe this year, in 89, I heard some of them say up in east of Ohio there, started around the last part of January, but they had a kind of an opening start there, and of course the buds started right away then, and of course later it got bad and they couldn't do it.
What? How much did you usually get? What?
Oh, 1 year was. I think we had about 200 gallon here. That was before World War II, and I know I remember.
After it was boiled in.
Yeah, and canned a lot of it, and then took a. Let's see. There was a company in Ohio that took 50, 60 gallon there one time, and I think it was, I've forgotten now who it was.
And did you sell some of it yourself locally?
Yeah.
That's where most of it sold up.
Yeah, it was around here, most of it. Didn't ship the... We just shipped a few gallons to the cousins, and where they'd be up in Chicago or St. Louis, someplace like that. but not very many gallons we shipped. Most of it was taken into Cincinnati, what we had an awful lot. Newport rolling mills, the steel mills, Newport, Kentucky, take a lot of it because the boss come down and, one time and took him over there. He liked to not made it back. He wasn't used to that, climbing up and down those hills over there. But he come back and took about 50 gallon one year. Take it over, they settled in the office over in Newport Rolling Mills office, and then the employees come back in and pick up a gallon. Of course, that was when they was working and had a little money, they buy it.
Was that back in the 40s?
Yeah, the 30s and the 40s, yeah.
And you said it sold for about $4 a gallon?
Yeah, and then, yeah.
How much would it sell for now?
Eight, ten.
Yeah. If you get it, it's even hard to get.
Yeah, it's hard to get.
Uh-huh.
Well, they had the mill over there behind the old grain hall, you know, and the neighbors would bring in their sorghum. And let's see, I think when the mill was going, I believe they charged 40 cents a gallon for making it. Of course, back then, in the person, they never had 40 cents, so they done it all in shares.
Yeah. In other words, what, they do some work for you?
No, they just bring in the... no, none of them done any work directly. They just have a patch of sorghum, or cane, they call it, sorghum cane, and if it run out 20 gallon, why, they let us have 10 gallon, and they'd take 10. In other words, it's made in the shares,
yeah,
what they call it, yeah.
Or whatever
that was
the
sorghum. Yeah. Yeah, the old sorghum mill.
Did you have to cook it or anything?
Oh yeah, you had to cook it.
You did that for them too?
Yeah.
You did everything and then got half of it.
And then, yeah.
How much did your pan hold?
Well, the sorghum pan was in sections, so that you'd have a rag or something and then run it down through. See, you had to have different temperatures in your section, in your sorghum. And you started it out by the settling pan. The settling pan was I expect settling pan was 7 feet long and 2 feet wide, maybe 3 feet wide, I don't know anymore, and about a foot and a half deep. And of course, when it come out, when your mill pressed your cane, just like they did, well, like you hear them on sugar, you know, but the sack would then run down and run in your settling pan, and then
would you heat it while it's in the settling pan?
No.
Let it lay there for a while.
Run back, you see, and start in the back of the pan. Of course, we had another furnace, just like your furnace is in your maple syrup, you had your furnace on your sorghum pan. And, of course, you started that, and when it got up to the front, why, the sorghum was pretty thick, and you had to wash it and keep it stirred with regular paddles all the time to keep it from burning, because sorghum, like anything else, it burned pretty quick. And you had and all your heat was in your furnace, was up in the back of the pan, and you run your water right back in and start it in the back where you back of your furnace, and then run it.
Work it up as you go.
Work it up, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, how long, if you fill that pan, how long would it take you? Would it take you all day?
Oh, I take a batch off. Oh, I expect it wasn't too much. You could get to done maybe in the around an hour. I forgot now how long. You always checked it, you know, stick the paddle in when up, and then they drip off. You see, drip off, and they drop like, it looked like candy. What? It was pretty well done. And you draw it off, right in your, right in one corner, you see, of the pan up near the chimney, before you draw it off, right by your chimney. And the journey draw it off in an old milk bucket or anything that you had there. And,
did you do that outside?
Yeah, it was under the shed. I guess you don't remember the old sergeant's shed, except
I can kind of remember some kind of bucket.
Yeah.
And so you did the maple syrup first, and then the sorghum would come later.
Well, the sorghum, your sorghum really come first. Your sorghum cane got ripe just about the time your corn crop did. In other words, you cut your corn about over a farmer's fair up in the 1st of October. Well, that's when you brought your cane in, was about during the farmer's fair, and stack it over there so we could run it out. It would lay there, you strip the leaves off of it, they would lay there and cut the tops off for your chickens and birds, cut the tops off and just lay it, stack it over there, and it'd stay there. Way after frost, I remember having cane in there way after Christmas, up in New Year's. There was an awful lot of cane coming in there.
So, would it be later?
Maybe,
late in the season when you're doing it. You told me, you remember when there's a canning place?
Oh, yeah.
That was on down the hollow there.
Grandfather. Well, it was over right behind their barn now. It was a kind of little factory about...
You mean over on the other side of the road?
Yeah, your water, he piped his water over 50 there, and he had a windmill right down there where those two brick houses are there. There's a well there with a windmill on it, and then he'd pick the water up and carry it across for his cannery. I can't hardly remember when it went across there. I remember playing in the old, when they had a few kittles left in there, I remember playing in that. That was about the time, when was I messing around there? About the time Moore's Hill, the college burned.
That was about 1916 when it burned.
Well, and that's about 1960. Yeah, I was about 6-7 years old, yeah.
Yeah. And what did they can?
This meadow over here was his strawberry patch, so he raised his own strawberries there, they say. I don't remember that. But, and these tomatoes, he had tomatoes over on that side, and he still did way up until Sherman died. I think Sherman was one. And that's the asparagus, and Sherman still had the old asparagus bread over there about where that house is now. Had asparagus bread in there, so Elmer must have raised his own asparagus, and his own tomatoes, and his own strawberries. And I don't know. What else? The old cherries. The cherry trees had the long old 50 there is where the cherry trees was, and I remember back, of course they never let me climb the cherry trees there, but Brad Fox come out and the lighter part there and took cherries for, well I guess the canning factory was gone when Brad come out. I think Sherman picked his cherries and took them down, still sold them at the grocery stores then. See, that would be, I was about, we was in grade school.
Yeah.
Fox was in, I suppose, Cochran, I think. Foxy
Bennett.
Was,
fairly early 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. So,
then what, he just sell them around here locally?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's you or somebody told me they had a horse and wagon that they load up and take down to Roar.
Elmer and Sherman there, I can still remember Sherman using it. It looked like a huckster wagon he had down there. We just had an open spring wagon and we put the tomatoes in and take them down. And when Charlie Tinney was down there across from IGA now, what's in Charlie Tinney building there now? It's a tavern in there. Well, there's where go down real early in the morning with the old horse and wagon, set them out there around 5:30, 4, 6 o'clock, and then go on up and Clyde Kelly's, leave a bushel of tomatoes there, Clyde Kelly's, that'd be around 4, 7 o'clock. Just let them set out there on the street.
How long would it take you to from here to go down with the horse?
Oh, I don't know. It'd take you trot down there the old way. I expect it take you from here. It'd be about 40 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know. Go down. Of course, you had to going in Cochran there. You had two grocery stores there in Cochran. A Seaferman, which was Seaferman's there, right where you turn off to go on to Indiana Avenue. Seaferman.
Where Baker's was?
And Baker. Baker was in the old sea meadow, yeah. And you leave one there.
There was another little one down the street a ways there. I never did know who that was. But you'd get that down there. 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah, get up early.
Would they be open?
They wouldn't be open. No, just set them out there on the street. Shoot, and then wide bar them.
And then what,
you'd come back later, next
for
week.
Later.
I think...
This road, was that the county road then?
Yeah.
You go to Dillsburg, you went up the creek.
Yeah, from the Roar you went up.
But this is
a county road here, and then before it was a state, then the state took it. I don't know what.
Did you go down the same place you do now, or?
No. You know where Myers is? Myers' stone house.
Come
right around that corner. Now, you can pretty near see the old.
I went down along that hill. There's a road there.
And then across in front of Lou Myers's, and then those houses there around Lou Myers's old stone house or brick house there. It went in front of that. You can pretty near remember that, I expect. Yeah, went up there and went down the old hill, and of course come out there where Sand Rinks was at the pool, Trester Hill.
I know my granddad used to go out to Cochran with a laundry wagon, and that'd take him, I guess, a couple hours before he got back. Biggest part of the afternoon before he got back.
I remember that Uncle Ed mostly had his collar starched there. I can remember your dad starching them collars you put on, had a collar button back here and back.
Someplace. Lynn Slayback got one of our old slips with starch collars was 2 cents, and cuffs were 2 cents a piece.
I can remember that little blue, when I was going, your blue slip was a little long, and then you had,
this was a white one.
I forgot,
I believe the date, I think it was about 1909 or 10, something like that.
Yeah.
They started, when they first started down there, their city didn't have water.
No,
And He said, once in a while, they'd run out of water, they'd go down to the water boat, get the guy to start the pump again to fill the tank up with the water. Can you remember about the Grange Hall here, Harris? I remember one time when I was going with that one, they had something down there.
Yeah.
Play games and things.
You had pies. You had strawberry suckers and pie socials there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, most of the people around here belong to that.
Most of them all belong to Grange, yeah.
And did they try to help you improve your farm?
Yeah,
The farm agent business?
Yeah, the Grange, long before Farm Bureau, did the same thing, yeah. We had insurance later here, and you could buy Grange insurance, but it was much cheaper than Farm Bureau and the rest of them, but I wanted to get it on the automobile, and I rode up there in Ohio, Columbus, or someplace there, and they said they wouldn't, outside of Ohio, they wouldn't take anybody, so I didn't. Yeah, I wanted the Grange insurance, so I could have got it.
They have a house insurance and car insurance and all that, huh?
Yeah.
Clyde Randall, he had he got in the insurance business.
Yeah, he was in the insurance.
He had a lot of them around here.
Yeah. He paid the insurance on Clyde paid the insurance on the church out there for years.
I guess he did a lot to help the church.
Yeah, he paid the insurance on the dog. I don't know. I'm here.
He was. Clyde told me one time about somebody that built a new house and had a fireplace in it, and they hadn't moved in yet. I don't know whether it's completely done or not, but he wanted to see how the thing drawed. He had a big lot of newspapers and put it in there. Newspapers went up the chimney and met on the roof and burned the house down. But he never moved in it.
Never moved.
I don't think he had it insured yet, because usually they don't insure them until you get them all done.
Yeah.
You might have got a little, they give you a little to start, but you really don't get full insurance until everything's complete.
Complete. Yeah.
That would be provoking development.
Yeah, that'd be, I say. Oh, yeah.
This thing didn't start.
Didn't start.
Okay, tell me about Farmer Green.
Well, of course, all I know is what they told me, too. My grandmother told my wife that when Morgan had crossed over there on the other side of Ripley County coming this way, these people, farmers around here, got their old shotguns and all, and they decided to move over and attacked Morgan at Farmer's Retreat. Well, of course, it wasn't named Farmer's Retreat at that time, but that's where Farmer's Retreat got its name, is the like the Minutemen, you know, and they all gathered over there, and Morgan, some way, had known that there was a famine down here, something down here on the Aurora Bank, and so instead of coming down through this way, he went above. And so I think, don't the route show that he moved across northern Dearborn County? He went up that way and around. But anyway, it put quite a scare in right in through Washington Township here. My grandmother said that she tied the cow behind the old stone bed wagon and horse and took her silverware with her, and she went over to the sugar camp and stayed all night. And then she come back the next day and brought the cow back, but And Morgan didn't come through here, so Morgan didn't get any grandmother's chickens or ducks or anything.
Or horses.
Or horse.
They took any horses any good, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they took horses. So that, and so that's where Farmer's Retreat. Grandmother says got a name there. I don't know. That's just hearsay.